Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 439 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you as ever this week. Coming up on the show, we have music from Arkansas Dave. We'll be hearing from the cast of Little Shop of Horrors. Maureen Littman lets us know about the literary festival she was part of over the weekend. And we're talking shaving with a chic geek. But first of all,
Owen Paul is a name you will know and love. You'll remember his hit singles. You'll remember the fantastic time you had in the 80s. But it doesn't stop there. Amazing is a brand new song from him, and he joins me on the line now to tell me more about it. Hello.
How are you doing, Jason?
I'm good, and I take it life is treating you well?
It's going very, very well. I mean, it's obviously 30-odd years, well, 31 years to be exact, since Favourite Waste of Time, and here I am still doing it, still standing, still singing, still writing, still recording, so I must have done something right.
Well, absolutely, working hard, I haven't seen the press pics. Have you still got the long hair, and you wander around your muscle shirt still, or have you calmed it down a little bit now, 30 years on?
Oh, I can but dream. not quite.
But still performing, and the voice is sounding amazing. The studio work is doing some brilliant stuff, and it must be great fun still doing what you're doing.
It's one of those things, you know, you kind of, in a weird kind of way, because I took some time out from the music industry as a singer and a performer, even though I was working behind the scenes from the 80s into the 90s, I did things like I was a member of Mike and the Mechanics for a while, and we recorded an album together, and I became a producer and arranger, and then I worked I ran a West End theatre in London for a while and stuff. Much that you do all of that, you never stop writing songs because it's part of who you are. I've been doing that since I was 15, 16, since the punk days. And, you know, as you say, in a weird kind of way, a bit like everything else, or fine wine, you know, in many ways, I think, maybe that's just me talking, I could be wrong, but I think my voice is better than it's ever been. I enjoy the shows way more than I've ever done. I do a lot of those rewind festivals and similar type things with acts like Nick Kershaw or Nick Hayward or Howard Jones or Tony Hadley. And we're all in the same place, you know, and we've all passed the point where we're competitors. We're all having the time of our lives. We've made records back in the day that meant a lot to a lot of people. And we're so lucky to be in the job that we do. It's a fantastic thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was one of those situations where things went a little bit awry with a record company back in the day.
Yes.
And that puts a bit of a sour taste in, particularly when you're a creative and you're going out there basically putting your emotions on show every time you sing a song. And then when there's finance and all that stuff going on in the background and not going the way you want it to, it doesn't make it easy, does it?
It's funny. I mean, you put it very well, you know. And I always used to view it like that because I come from the punk scene, from like when the Clash were making records or Sex Pistols or whoever. And I was also a fanatic of Bowie, who there's no rules, but you always had to give it 100% and mean what you said and, you know, say what you mean and so on. And then I found myself, it was my own fault in a way, but because I made I'd been signed as a rock act. And then I stupidly, on a whim, made a fantastic worldwide seller pop record. but immediately, from that moment, my record company, Sony at the time, and I'm not alone in this, other artists, including George Michael, bless him, he went to court and tried to fight for this case. You know, they, in effect, own your master tapes. They can tell you what to do with them. They can tell you how long they're going to be. They can say, we don't like that, we don't like this, we don't like that. But regardless of what the public think, in fact, often the public don't get to hear it. I actually thought I made some good records back in the day that the public never heard. So then I get into loggerheads because if I didn't make a proper pop record for my record company, they weren't going to promote it in the same way that they would other things. So I was quite happy to go, you know what, I'm going to walk away from this. So I kind of went on a mini strike. Get me.
But I mean, even then, back in the early part of the noughties, you were doing backing vocals and vocal arranging,
yeah,
with Mike and the Mechanics. You've toured with them. So, you know, some great fun to be had, even if you weren't at the forefront of what was going on.
Well, I was quite happy to let it go and not be, you know, the pin-up boy and have to do the restricted version of myself that everyone was demanding. I was quite happy to do the things that I loved, which was making records, being involved with fantastic musicians like Mike Rutherford or Paul Carrack or whoever did an album in Japan that was a massive number one over there and sold millions of copies of an act you'd never have heard of. I've always loved the recording process. I've always loved being an arranger and a producer and stuff. So I was far from unhappy doing all of that, that's for sure.
And have the three kids taken a bit of a leaf out of Dad's book and they followed you into the music industry in any way at all?
Not exactly. I mean, my two eldest, my son Josh, who's the oldest one, he is not interested in it at all. My daughter, who I reckon has got the attitude to be one, to be a proper rock goddess, again, won't do it in public. But my youngest is currently in Portsmouth University doing musical theatre, so she's much more that way inclined, and she's quite happy to express herself in that way, yeah.
She will be on stage before you know it. It's going to be good.
Oh, for sure. She's already done some gigs with me, actually.
Oh, that's cool. Even better. So that's a nice way of doing it as well, and a great way of sharing the music with the family.
Well, quite, and I think that's what it's about. I mean, I come from a Scottish family where we were used to singing in public from a very, very early age because of like the New Year's get-togethers and parties that we do for New Year's Eve or whatever. So I was very happy and very comfortable singing in public from a very early age. And my youngest Hannah is taking up that baton and she's going to do the same thing for sure.
Well, absolutely brilliant stuff there. Really pleased to hear that. And what else can we expect you from you? Because you've got amazing witches available out there. We can take a listen to it in a moment or two's time. But what else is on the way?
Well, because of the success of Amazing in the Clubs, which is interesting for me because I'm a 55-year-old man, what am I doing with making dance music? But because we ended up with a UK chart hit already in the dance scene, that is, it's not in the mainstream charts yet because it's only just been released for that, we're considering whether maybe we should do more of the same. I mean, the whole fact of me getting involved with dance records came about by accident anyway. Last year was my favourite Waste of Time's 30th anniversary, right? And as a way to sort of celebrate that as such, we thought we'd do some special versions of Favourite Waste of Time in a dance style. And we asked lots of people all over the world, Holland, Sweden, New York, Florida, blah, 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 to do some remixes. And lots of people got involved and ended up doing very well in America in particular with that version of Favourite Waste of Time, which is cool. One of the guys I asked was a guy called Stonebridge, who is based in Sweden, but he works out of New York. And he's Grammy nominated. He's done stuff with Usher and Blondie and Britney Spears. You name it, he's done it. This guy, Grammy guy, I asked him, would he do the Favourite Waste of Time remix? He politely said no. He said no immediately. But what was interesting to me is that a bit like myself, he's an artist-led type guy. He said, but he'd love to be involved in something with an 80s act if it was a brand new song. Now, fortunately, I had a track that I'd written and only really demoed, to be honest. But Robbie Williams was interested in using it for his last album. So it wasn't up for grabs, and I wasn't going to record it until I knew whether Robbie Williams was going to use it or not. Now, it turns out, 18 months on, Robbie didn't use it. I said to Stonebridge, I've got this track called Amazing. It's in its basic demo form. I'll send you all the bits and pieces, you know, the basic guitar track, the basic vocal track, and, you know, you weave your magic and see if you like it. He absolutely loved the song. He thought it was a thing that could well represent me, and he's done his stuff on it, and I'm very, very proud and very pleased. And so I think as a result of that and a result of the reception that we're getting from it already, I'm almost certainly going to be doing more of the same.
Well, we look forward to hearing more from you in the future. Say Amazing is on its way literally moments from now. Does this mean, though, that you won't be appearing in the video? Did you fancy rocking out and throwing some shapes on the dance floor to it, or are you going to keep it to a bit more fun imagery in there?
It's funny that you mention this, because referring back to my children, who are very happy that Dad's getting played in clubs that they go to themselves, they're not happy with the potential of Dad in a video, Dad dancing.
Exactly, this is my concern, but I didn't want to put it like that, to be fair, but...
I know exactly where you were going, sir. They've already brought the subject up, so I've promised them we've already got the video ready to be filmed. I've told them it'll be, if at best... it'll be very dark. at worst, as you say, it'll be, you know, obscure images, and I won't be in it at all. It doesn't matter anyway.
We will see.
The track stands up on its own.
Hey, if we can get you in the background in your appearance on Wogan back in the day, just for a bit of fun, that'd be amazing as well, wouldn't it?
Why not? Who cares?
Owen Paul, great to speak to you. Thanks for having a chat. Thank you for sharing the music. We're going to take a listen to Amazing. Give us your social media, though, before we do. Where can we find you?
I shall indeed. First of all, this track that we're about to hear, Amazing, brand new track for this year, is available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and all the usual download sites. Or you can get it from theownpaul.com, that's theownpaul.com, or Owen Paul official page on Facebook, or Owen Paul Reel on Twitter.
Simple as that. Go along, follow, share, do what you need to do, but most of all,
yes, please.
Enjoy the music and dance around. Even if you do dad dancing, we don't mind around here. It's all cool. You just enjoy the track.
I don't mind either. I'm going to be doing it for sure.
Thanks. It's great to speak to you. Keep up the good work, mate. Bye for now.
Thank you.
That is Owen Paul and his brand new single, Amazing.
From the 21st to the 24th of February 2018, the Dunstan Mill Theatre plays host to Starstruck Theatre and their version of A Little Shop of Horrors. And I'm joined by some of the cast now. Hello!
Hello! Hello.
Right, let's start with introductions. This side, please, first of all.
I'm Richard Probert. I'm the chairman of the company.
Next.
I'm Matt Colley and I play Seymour.
I'm Vicky Ball and I play Audrey.
My name's Duncan, and I play Audrey too.
Now, I think at this point, it's vitally important we point out, this is not how Audrey is going to look on the night. Well, no. This one is, Audrey 2 isn't. No. Because, if you've ever seen the show before, you'll know it's a giant puppet. But, in this case, we thought we would add a bit of atmosphere, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, you asked if we could bring an Audrey too.
Yeah, and this was the closest you had at the time. But a nice green check shirt, I'm loving that. And the foliage behind the ears, I think is a look that's going to be certainly in for spring 2018.
Well, I wanted to do my best.
I'm liking that. That's all looking good. So, Richard, tell us a bit about how this company came to be.
Well, myself and Ashley, we decided we wanted to start a theatre company. Mm-hmm. We've both been involved in Amdram for multiple years. And so we came up with the idea for Starstruck. We secured the rights for Little Shop of Horrors. And it's all started from there. So obviously we started from scratch with no members. We've had to advertise. And we've been inundated with talent, I'm really pleased to say.
Well, there's a lot of good talent in the area. And there's never a shortage of people to perform in these shows. And we're really lucky to know that there's so many good people around here. And some of your cast I've seen in shows very recently, I'm thinking over there. And absolutely, truly awesome performers. So when you've got an Audrey as good as your Audrey, you know you haven't got too much to worry about.
Absolutely, and we're fortunate that the rest of the cast are of a similar standard. Mm-hmm. So we have good quality throughout, which is really important. And rarely, for amateur theatre, we've got a decent number of men, which is quite unusual.
But it is the sort of show where it is proper male roles as well. There's less dancing and no tights.
That's true.
Unless, of course, Matt's wearing tights underneath everything. We don't need to
just
know.
Just keep
it
warm, Matt.
So it makes it a good, fun show for everyone involved. And when it comes down to putting someone like this on, there's some amazing tunes as well.
There are. The music's written by Alan Menken, who people might be familiar with his work from some of the Disney musicals. Mm-hmm. So Aladdin, he wrote really well-known songs. And so the music is by him. And so it's got that really sort of feel-good about it, quite modern in its interpretation, but yeah, excellent songs.
Quite upbeat songs, yeah. A lot of them as well, yeah.
Yeah, you'll and funny, them. There's lots of humour in the show. The show is very funny. But you've only got to look at Duncan to realise how
well,
humorous
yeah,
it is.
It is amazing, isn't it, to be fair, but there we go. So, okay then, let's talk Seymour, and okay. Obviously an interesting role, a great way of exploring a fun character, and getting the chemistry right between you and Audrey is going to be good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun in rehearsals, just putting on the character of Seymour, nervous, shy, geeky, a lot of characters like that I've played before in other musicals, so I'm really looking forward to taking the lead role in this one and doing my best with it.
So that will be good to see. With Audrey's role in this, the fur coat is part of the character, isn't it? But it must be great during the winter months.
Oh yeah, this is my normal coat.
Yeah. But you're going to get that on stage.
Maybe, yeah.
You're going to try, aren't you?
When I turned up to rehearsals in it, they did say it was kind of Audrey-ish.
Yeah, it works. And Audrey too has to have a fantastic deep voice for anyone called Audrey. And this is where you're going to excel, I think, isn't it?
Yes.
He doesn't sound like that when he sings. We'll find out a little bit later on. When it comes down to playing a mean green mother from outer space, that in itself, it's going to be a bit of a challenge. You're looking forward to that?
I am indeed. It's the first role that I've played like this.
Mm-hmm. But where you don't actually appear, you're a voice behind the scenes.
That's right, I don't appear, I'm behind the scenes.
But do you get involved in any of the puppetry as well? Or?
No, just the voice.
Easy job, really.
Oh,
I'm so glad we painted you green now, to be fair. To put you no, but it is a very demanding role to sing, isn't it?
Yeah, I've had to practice a fair bit. Hopefully it'll turn out all right.
Well, I have absolutely huge high expectations. And
we will meet them.
Yeah, it'll be great. I'm just hoping someone's going to clean all the foliage up off the floor, because you're definitely shedding leaves over there.
It's been malting.
Yeah.
It's because he's not eaten recently. That's what it is.
This is it. Well, we're not going to feed him just yet. However,
if he would...
No, it could get messy. And you're looking a little anemic already, Seymour, over there.
Oh.
So what happens now then? If people have got to get their tickets, that's the important bit.
They can do it in multiple ways. If they know somebody that's in the company, obviously they can get tickets through the person that they know. Mm-hmm. They can access them on the website, which is ct.co.uk/littleshop, or they can ring the box office number, which is 01902-5. I've got to look over at them.
It's cheating, it's really not. Shall I read it to you? It's
yes,
behind you.
Do.
It's simple as that. No, I can look this way. 01902-546-340. That's 01902-546-340. And you can get your tickets that way. Get along. The Mill Theatre is an absolutely beautiful theatre as well, isn't it?
It's superb. And we're quite lucky, because there's loads of places that don't have a lovely little theatre, but that kind of 350-ish seater capacity with, and it's really laid out. There's not a bad seat in the house. Mm-hmm. You can have a good view of everything from no matter where you're sitting, and it's really excellent. Quite intimate, got a really nice atmosphere about it. We really like it.
And what's the ticket pricing like?
The ticket prices are £14 for an adult and £12 for a concession. Mm-hmm. And that's for all the performances with the exception of the Saturday matinee, when all tickets for the Saturday matinee are £10.
See, I thought he was going to charge you more for that, but no, he's doing a really good job of making sure we keep the prices low, and it's going to be well worth getting along to see Little Shop of Horrors. It is at the Dunstan Mill Theatre in Sedgley from the 21st through to the 24th of February 2018. Get yourself along. Starstruck Theatre doing the business. And thank you all for joining us, Break a Leg. But we're going to have a song now, so what are we going to hear first? I think we're going to have a bit of Audrey and Seymour, aren't we?
Yeah.
Suddenly Seymour.
Yeah, we're going to be singing Suddenly Seymour. It's our big love song. When we finally realise our unspoken love.
Yeah, it's all lovey-dovey, just look too well. But there we go. Right, let's take a listen to the song and have a great time, break a leg, and maybe not too many branches, okay?
Lift up your head, wash off your mascara. Here, take my Kleenex, wipe that lipstick away. Show me your face, clean as the morning. I know things were bad, but now they're okay. Suddenly Seymour is standing beside you. You don't need no makeup, don't have to pretend. Suddenly Seymour is here to provide you sweet understanding. Seymour's your
nobody
friend.
Daddy left early and Mama was poor. I'd meet a man and I'd follow him blindly. He'd snap his fingers and me, I'd say sure.
Till forever, tell me the bad times are clean washed away.
Please understand that still strange and frightening. Losers like I've been, it's so hard to say. Suddenly Seymour.
Suddenly Seymour.
So Starstruck Theatre bring you a Little Shop of Horrors, and we'll hear more from the show when Audrey 2 sings along with Seymour a little bit later on. Now, it seems one in four British men are going to opt for the clean-shaven look as we head into 2018, with almost 30% spending more time on facial grooming than head hair. Well, as I'm almost completely bald, I certainly have to do that myself. Somebody who knows a thing or two about looking after himself, though, is the chic geek Marcus J. Hello.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm good, and we trust you find you well this afternoon.
Very well, thank you.
Good stuff. So talk about this survey, because it's all been quite exciting stuff in the world of beards of late with hipsters, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, this survey's been done by Big Shave Club, and they've looked at how long and how much money various areas of the country spend on their grooming, and they found that the West Midlands were the highest spending group of guys, and also they spent the longest on their facial hair.
when it comes down to sorting this out, obviously facial hair, it's a bit of a pain, isn't it, really? Because you either, if you let it grow too long, it looks scruffy. If you have a hipster beard, sometimes you can't quite carry off that level of cool. I know I can't. And it is different for every man out there, isn't it? So it does make it hard work.
Definitely. I mean, I think there's a lot more options today. So, you know, you can have a beard, but obviously you can sort of style it in different ways. And, you know, you can have a moustache, you can have handlebars, you can have a goatee, you can have big sideburns. So I think we're definitely in a time where guys are experimenting with their facial hair.
So how do you like to treat yours?
I've actually got a moustache at the moment.
But this varies on you, doesn't it? You go with the flow, whatever you feel like.
Pretty much. I mean, I think I did have a beard for a while and I kind of got a bit bored with that. And now I have a moustache because I felt my face felt a bit naked without something on it. But also, because I've got ginger hair, like it's kind of cool to be ginger. So the more ginger hair you've got, as in on your face, it's kind of quite cool at the moment.
So but does this mean that you tend to follow other people with a similar hair colour? And did you find fellas do that, though? If people have got dark hair or all growing beards, do they grow beards? Because on a blonde person, a beard it can kind of disappear into the face, can't it?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it's about the hair colour, but guys definitely are influenced by their peer group and friendship groups, and also maybe work colleagues. So I think that's why we see a disparity in different areas doing different things. So I think guys are more likely to sort of look similar to their friends and do similar styles of either, you know, be clean shaven or maybe have a beard or have the different styles of facial hair.
Now, so what big trends can we expect in 2018, though? Because there's talk of something called the monkey tail.
The monkey tail, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like a half beard that kind of curls around your mouth, so it looks like you've got a monkey's tail around your face. Obviously, that's up to the individual. It just shows you all the different things you can actually do with your facial hair and not just have to stick to the kind of more traditional shapes.
And when it comes down to it, though, the technology will make a difference on what you can do when you're trimming. I remember when it was all the stubble shaving device in the 80s into the 90s. But now, with things like the Big Shave Club, there's all sorts of other options, aren't there?
Totally. I mean, this is a subscription service. So what you do is you sign up and you get fresh razor blades, refillable razor blades every month or every couple of months. And you just sign up to what suits your needs. But I think in the future, we're definitely going to see technology make it easier to find out what suits you best and also to actually get the sort of desired results.
But even then, it's down to something like a better quality blade can make such a difference. And when you're dealing with a big brand like Bic, you at least know you're going to get something which is going to last you longer and give you a good quality cut when you do shave.
Totally. I mean, there's nothing worse than a bad razor blade. I mean, it just makes it painful to, you feel like you're scraping the hair off your face. So something that's sharp and also doesn't clog and actually does the job properly is very important, yeah.
And when it comes down to celebs, you talked a bit about people following their friends, but it can make a massive difference. So how many people out there do you think go for the Brian Blessed beard?
Well, there's obviously one, and that's the man himself. I mean, there are quite a few, but I think there was that thing a couple of years ago where we'd reached peak beard. So I think we probably peaked on the beard, and now that kind of look, you know, where guys had sort of fade cuts and side partings, that's kind of, we're kind of moving away from that. So I think the Brian Blessed look is definitely a smaller group of guys.
So those of us who are clean shaven, at least on day one of probably day four when I get round to shaving again, it's going to be much more in fashion and a little bit of stubble. All that impressive tash, that's the way to go.
Totally. I'm looking at the figures. They said like a quarter of guys are going to go clean shaven next year. And I think it could be like an influence of maybe like baby face guys like Harry Styles, that kind of thing.
So yeah, the pre-puberty look is the one that's going to be in. If you can carry it off with the bags around your eyes, if they're not there, then you're good looking good, yeah.
I think we're going to see a lot of guys where they will start wanting to look younger. So I think that's when the clean shaven look will come back in more.
Yeah, because I think a beard really does age you. If I don't shave for 3 weeks, which I have tried, I look about 10 years older, and that is fine if you're 18, 19, 20. But when you're in your 40s, you don't want to be doing that, do you really?
Totally. And also, I mean, the beard's been around 10 years, so obviously those guys who've had it are now going to probably want to look younger, so that probably make the trend switch back to more clean-shaven look.
Which will be a relief for those who can't grow a beard as well.
Exactly. There also are a lot of guys who don't actually have the best facial hair, and they've got no choice but to be clean-shaven, so I think that's what a lot of people forget, that guys, it's not, sometimes it's not a choice for certain guys. You just naturally, some people can do it, some people can't. And sometimes it's patchy, sometimes it's, you know, thicker in different areas. But I think those who could did. But I think that's going to change as well.
But not all of those who could should, I think, is the moral of the story from my point of view. But yeah, looking cool now. The clean shaven look on its way back. The Big Shave Club is the way to help you do that. Is there a website where you can sign up?
Yeah, go to bigshaveclub.com and there's all the information there.
So check it out. Find out the best razor and best package for you. But whatever happens, make sure you look fantastic in style, as the chic geek only knows how. You can share that. I'm sure you've got a website as well, haven't you, mate?
Yeah, it's thechicgeek.co.uk.
Marcus, thank you for joining us, and happy shaving.
Thank you.
Time to take more music now from Little Shop of Horrors, as performed by the cast of Starstruck Theatre. This time, Audrey 2 is feeling a little peckish.
Feed me!
Does it have to be human?
Feed me!
Does it have to be mine?
Feed me!
Where am I supposed to get it?
Feed me, Seymour. Feed me all night long. Ha! That's right, boy! You can do it! Feed me, Seymour. Feed me all night long. Cause if you feed me, Seymour, I can grow up big and strong.
You eat blood, Audrey 2. Let's face it, how am I supposed to keep on feeding you? Kill people?
I'll make it worth your while.
How?
You think this is all a coincidence, baby? The sudden success around here? Your adoption papers?
Look, you're a plant, an inanimate object.
Does this look inanimate to you, punk? If I can talk and I can move, who's to say I can't do anything I want?
Like what?
Like to live a pal? Oh, like see you get everything your secret greasy heart desires. Would you like a Cadillac car? Or a gas shot on Jack Paar? How about a day with Hedy Lamarr? You're gonna get it.
Thanks, too kind of you to offer, but
how'd you like to be a big wheel, dining out for every meal? I'm the plan that can make it all real. You're gonna get it. I'm your genie, I'm your friend, I'm your willing slave. Take a chance and feed me, and you know the kind of eats, the kind of red eye treats, the kind of sticky licky sweets I crave. Come on, Seymour, don't be a putz. Trust in me, your life will surely rival King Tut's. Show a little initiative, boy, and work up some guts, and you'll get it.
Don't forget to find out more about Starstruck Theatre. They are on Facebook, as well as all the other plays we talked about too. They're on at the Dumpster Mill Theatre from the 21st to the 24th of February, and it's going to be well worth getting along to see them in A Little Shop of Horrors.
An artist who's got a brand new album on the way very soon is Arkansas Dave, and he joins me on the line now. Hello, sir.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just sitting here on top of the mountain.
And you're in Arkansas at the moment, so Arkansas Dave as a name, it's not what your parents gave you, is it?
Absolutely not, but, you know, I'm coming, been come to know that as of recently. All my buddies in Texas, when I moved down there, decided to call me that, so it's kind of how I got that nickname.
So what is the full real name, or are we just not allowed to know that?
No, my name is David Pennington.
But you give yourself the title of Sir David Pennington on Twitter.
Well, you know, somebody else had the name Arkansas Dave on Twitter, so
elevate yourself. That's the way.
So I went ahead and knighted myself. So
yeah, well, you got the .com, which is what counts. Arkansas Dave being the .com on your website. So how long have you been doing music then?
I've been doing music professionally about 10 years now. So started off as a drummer and a side man, and recently decided to step out and do my own thing. So I'm excited to release my debut album in the spring of next year, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, you've got the single, which is out there around now?
Yeah, the first single is Chocolate Jesus, written by Tom Waits. We dropped that a couple Fridays ago and seemed to get a little bit of traction, so I'm really excited for the next few singles to come out and see where it takes me, because it's starting to get really exciting. Looking forward to see what happens.
Well, it all sounds good, and we'll take a little listen to the song in a short while's time. So what else do we need to know about you? Because you say you're living in Austin, Texas at the moment, although we find you in Arkansas. And are you in Arkansas because it is Thanksgiving on the way?
That's correct. Yeah, I came up here to visit my mom and my sisters and rest of my family. So, yeah, it's always good to come home for the holidays. And, you know, nice to have a little break, get away from the city and get back to nature. So I really enjoy coming up here when I can.
And when it comes down to your musical influences now, obviously you've worked with Tom Waits on Chocolate Jesus. How has the whole album come together? Has there been a number of collaborations? And do you like to, you know, maybe lay down a drum track of your own, or do you bring in a session drummer these days?
The way the album was put together is pretty interesting. Basically, I gave my manager a demo, and he fell in love with it and decided we needed to go to Muscle Shoals to record. So I'd always fancied that idea. Growing up in Arkansas, you know, the closest famous studios would be like Muscle Shoals Fame Studios in Alabama, and then you either go up to, you know, Sun in Memphis. So it was always one of these things that was close proximity and something I always wanted to do. So we decided to go down to Muscle Shoals and got the house band, and so the Muscle Shoals rhythm section as of today lineup, they performed as the studio band, and we cut it live on the floor and did it basically like you would cut an album back in the 70s. So you know, bringing in those guys really made all the difference, because it really helped solidify the sound, because they've been playing together for so long, and it really just made it seem as if I had my own band in there, and just the chemistry was perfect. And everything was exactly like I imagined it would be. And it turned out to be one of the greatest experiences I'd ever had. And we finished all the tracks down there. And then I came back to Austin and cut all the vocals at Arlen Studios and did a few overdubs here and there. But basically that was about it. So when I was back home, I had the opportunity to bring in a couple of my friends from other bands to come guest and do some solos on the record. So I got James Petrolli of the band White Denim on a couple of tracks. And then I have Chris Bishop from the band Crobot to do a guitar solo on one of the tracks. So I'm pretty excited. It's a pretty eclectic mix of songs, 13 tracks all together. So I think that once you listen to it, if you've never met me before, you'll have a pretty good understanding of who I am after you give the record a spin. So I'm looking forward to introducing myself to the world that way.
Well, we're looking forward to getting you over in the UK. I know that you haven't got too many gigs in the diary at the moment, but you are playing Sam's Burger Joint in San Antonio, Texas in the very near future. That's on the 6th of December. And are you going to get all your gang along for that gig, or are you going to be working with a different group of musicians, or maybe do you fancy something a bit more acoustic when you're in that situation?
Actually, I just got a gig in right before this phone call. I'm going to be playing Antones in Austin on December 2nd, and I'm going to bring my full band out for that one. And then the December 6th gig in San Antonio will be an acoustic gig, kind of like how I performed on my European tour that I did in July of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a lot of fun. I like having the ability to be able to bring out a full band for some gigs and others just, you know, reel it back a little bit, because it gives a really interesting juxtaposition between the two sounds. And, you know, I'm under the opinion that any good song can be translated and performed in any way. So I think that it's a good diverse mix of performing, so that you can get a little bit more of an intimate feel on some of the performances and really hear how the song was written. And because basically the way I write all my songs is on acoustic guitar and just sitting there thumbing through some melodies and coming up with some rhythms, and next thing you know, I got a song. So I feel like that approach gives a little bit more insight on how it was when the song was born.
Well, next time you're in Europe, we want you to come along and play live for us in the studio. That would be quite a treat, I think, by the sounds of things. Meanwhile, though, if people want to find out more, give us all the social media and spell Arkansas for us, because I have enough trouble spelling that sort of stuff.
Well, most people pronounce it Arkansas, so the way you spell it is Arkansas.
Right.
And all my socials are Facebook at the Arkansas Dave. Same with Instagram. And as you pointed out earlier, my Twitter handle is Sir Dave Pennington, because somebody already had Arkansas Dave. Hopefully we can change that soon.
Well, when you get your blue tick, they'll sort that one out, I'm sure.
That's right. I might have you call in from the UK to help convince them.
We will do what we can. Always happy to help. Right, we'll take a listen to Chocolate Jesus now. But meanwhile, Arkansas Dave, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Well, I don't go to church on Sunday. Don't get on my knees to pray. Don't memorize the books of the Bible. I got my own special way. Oh, but I know that Jesus loves me. Maybe just a little bit more. I fall on my knees every Sunday. It's a rare Delis candy store. Well, it's got to be a chocolate Jesus. Make me feel so good inside. It's got to be a chocolate Jesus to keep me satisfied. I don't want no Abba Zappa. I don't want no Almond Joy. There ain't nothing better suitable for this boy. Well, it's the only thing that can pick me up, better than a cup of gold. See, only a chocolate Jesus satisfy my soul.
Chocolate Jesus from Arkansas Dave. Last weekend saw a massive literary festival taking place in Gibraltar. Maureen Lipman was one of the many stars who were there, so I caught up with her just before the event to find out what was going on.
The Gibraltar Literary Festival is currently taking place, and there for a fourth year is Maureen Lipman, who joins me on the line now. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I trust Gibraltar is a little bit warmer than the UK at the moment.
Is it dull there?
It's a bit chilly, but quite bright.
Chilly?
Yeah.
Well, it's not chilly here. It's delightful, and there's a little bit of cloud, but it's warm, very warm, and very welcoming, as it always is.
So tell us a bit about this literature festival. It must be good to keep going back.
Well, they are very good to us as compared to most literary festivals. They treat us very well. They wine and dine us on a nightly basis. I think we've got a Moroccan-themed evening tomorrow after my talk. And they really have a festive mentality here. They have a chess festival, they have a darts festival, they have a music festival, jazz, you know. And you feel, when you, I felt it from the first time I came, when I stayed on this magnificent ship without an engine that's a hotel in the harbour, I felt that there was a real sense of work and play on the island where one complimented the other. They're incredibly warm and hospitable, and they do it beautifully. It's a little bit like coming to England, must have been, some years ago. You know, I was saying earlier, the children stand up for you on buses. You can't believe it, as opposed to bashing you on the head with an old mobile phone. The atmosphere here is very courteous. The history is fabulous. You know, you learn more every time you come. And then there are a few natural wonders, like the rock itself. They could do with a bit more land, but that goes without saying if you live on a rock. It's fantastic when you see it from the air, and when you land, because it's a very short airstrip, it's very exciting. And then you can go up in a cable car, and you can go into these magnificent caves. It's really a good way to come for a weekend to see some of your favourite authors, to take part in the odd workshop, to see some famous people and some not, you know, what's not to like?
Well, absolutely. And, I mean, being part of Britain as well, you at least recognise what the coins are, even though they've got slightly different pictures on the other side of it. But, I mean, it's a great place.
They don't have plastic.
No, no plastic. Well, that's they're a bit of a bone of contention, aren't they? So, yeah, if you want to relive those happy days...
Well, it does seem, with the corals and the dolphins eating plastic, a very strange decision for the Bank of England to put plastic in their banknotes. But there you are. There's not to reason why. So yes, and also you don't have to bring an adapter because the 3-pin plug works here. So
it's home from home, basically, and a great place to be. And this 4-day literary festival as well, you are just one of a number of stars over there, aren't you?
Yes, you've always got Nicholas Parsons here doing Just a Minute, which we will do with the actor Robert Dawes, who's also talking about writing crime novels. And then you've got the last night, Dame Jenny Murray, talking about the 21 women who shaped the century. And you've got Lady Carnarvon talking about entertaining in the real Downton Abbey. And then you've got lots of historical people. Patrick Gale, who's an interesting writer who lives in Cornwall. And then Lawrence Rees talking about the Holocaust, meeting those who were there. Maggie G is here again. And gosh, you know, there is no shortage of history, of the present day, of jokes. We've got Tony Hawks here. And it's as good a literary festival as I've ever been to.
Well, I mean, you're going into your 50th year as an actress this year as well, which means you must have been about a minus 10 when you started acting, I'm going to guess, based on...
Oh, God bless you. I love you. Thank you for that. Yes, I started about the time I went on Solids. 50 years, yes. Where's the party, I'd like to know?
Well, this is it. I mean, hopefully it's at some point over this weekend in Gibraltar. And if you want to find out more, Google the Gibraltar International Literary Festival. It's going to be well worth getting yourself. If you can't get there this year, it's a bit short notice, make sure you're signed up for next year. And you're likely to be signed up for next year at this rate, aren't you, to be fair?
Yes, I'll be back.
And what else? Yeah. What else do you look forward to when it comes to this sort of thing? I mean, there must be the Maureen Lipman rider. What is essential for when it comes to doing this sort of stuff?
Yes, an antelope. I don't travel unless there's an antelope in my room.
Absolutely love it. Well, you have a fantastic time over in Gibraltar. Enjoy the brilliant weather. And what can we expect to see from you on our screens in the near future?
Ah, it's a good question. It's a good question. Almost nothing. I am on radio every Monday morning for this month. It's called, rather jokingly, it's called A Month of Maureen. And when I asked why they had called it that, they said, well, we did it last year with June Whitfield. And I said, well, it works rather better when it's a month of June than a month of Maureen, because my name isn't May. But there you are. It's been very well received, and the 4 different plays. As I said, I've just directed my husband's play. And when I get back, I shall be out there looking for work, as ever.
Well, this is it. I don't think it's going to be too hard to come by. It's just you get to choose what you want to do these days, I trust. That sounds all rather good. Maureen, have you got your own website and Twitter feed? Do you do that sort of stuff?
I don't do any of that, no. Because my children say that if I did it, I would be beheaded.
Right, okay, keep it safe. Don't play with that, okay, with social media. But great speaking to you, as I say. Have a fantastic time during the festival in Gibraltar. And we look forward to seeing you again soon in whatever work it is you decide to pick up.
Okay, next time I'm in Wolverhampton, I'll give you a shout.
I look forward to seeing you.
Okay. Bye.
That's all for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Back with episode 440 next week. I'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.